Well, I guess there's two options. The best way to is figure out what you want and reverse engineer it. So if you want a successful brand, if you want your podcast to be a successful brand, it makes sense for your starting point to be, what do people want? What do people want to consume? But if you want your podcast to be a platform on which you just exercise your own creative interest, then it doesn't make sense to start by asking people what they want. It makes sense to just do what you want. Would you agree?
That's true.
Well,
Which is interesting because I'm like, I do mine because I like talking and I just want a creative outlet. But then here I am being like, what can I do to get people to listen?
no, well, it's clear you're driven to build your listenership. That's clear. It's coming through. That's good. It's good to have ambition. For me, maybe I'm just lying about my ambition because I'm afraid to fail. That could be the case. You're listening to B Plus with Braden Zimmer. Today's guest is Hannah McNabb. She's the host of the Literally with Hannah Anna podcast, and she's just a bubbly, fun person to chat with. I really enjoy our conversation, and I hope you guys will enjoy listening to it. So without further ado, here's Hannah. So, Hannah.
Yes.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a long time coming, I think. We've been trying to get an episode together on my podcast. You've been hogging all our shared content for a while now.
I'm like, okay, Braden, like, you're coming over this day, we're doing it this day. I'm just very on it.
You're assertive, we might say.
Yeah.
So I think what I want to do most of all to start with in this podcast is talk about the fact, the thing we have in common, the biggest thing we have in common currently is that we both are amateur podcasters.
Yes.
Oh, are you? I guess you haven't made any money yet, have you?
No, did you know that we could start doing ads?
Sorry, continue.
No, all good. With the platform that we're both on, there's an option to do ads.
Yeah, but what's the cost benefit analysis of, okay, well, say in my case, less so you, but in my case, I'm doing it sort of for fun.
Yeah.
And I don't have any like strict aspirations to quote unquote succeed at it. So it might be counterproductive to like saddle down episodes with ads now, even if it turns away 1% of my people who would actually be listening otherwise. If they're like, oh fuck, this guy's got 100 views and he's running an ad, he wants to make 6 cents on this podcast, well, screw you. You know what
money
I mean?
Money is money.
No way.
That's how it's so bad. I'm just like, if I could squeeze a dollar out of this, like, why not?
What if it was at the expense of, like, what if 30% of people who were loyal listeners didn't like held a bit of a grudge for the fact that you were running ads?
Do you think they would?
Oh yeah, I hold grudges against people who run ads.
You do?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so on one extreme, there's the people like there's some people. Have you ever heard of the Minimalist podcast?
Probably.
Okay, there's two guys and they're quote unquote minimalists, which means they don't have a lot of things.
Right.
And they start every episode with this: "We're the Minimalists, and this is brought to you by." No one, because advertisements suck. And then they go into their, like, their identity is, we don't advertise. However, they're missing a lot, because they have, like, millions of subscribers.
They make so much money.
So they're missing out on, like, 6 figures a month, probably. Are they, and the height of their popularity, they would be. So it's a trade-off, right? Like, I give them lots of cred, and I listen to them more because they didn't make me sit through advertisements.
Okay. Do they have a social media?
And they're shameless self-pluggers.
Okay. So do you know how much money you can make through social media?
I don't.
Probably like, I wish I had a number in mind, but you can make, like, if you're getting up to over 1,000 on each post, you get noticed by Instagram. Like, you can start getting paid per post.
But wait. Are you paid for advertise? Like, you have to advertise, or Instagram just pays you for driving traffic?
Traffic. And then if you, on top of that, you did an ad here or there, right? Like,
there it is. The ad's seeping back into the conversation.
But then, like, the revenue from the traffic to your posts and from the ad itself, like, it's not that I'm like, okay, let's see these guys, like, try it without their Instagram, but they must be making money through their Instagram.
And they also have free books. Like, they're growing a franchise, and they have 2 documentaries on Netflix now.
Okay, maybe that's where I've heard of them. So, okay, so with that though, this might be a little bit like up my own butt, but like,
okay,
if someone heard me doing an ad, they may be like, wow, she must be doing well because she's doing ads.
So you want to do it as a marker of success? Or people have to take you seriously because you're doing ads.
I think that might be more. Not that I'm trying, because I know you said that like you're not trying to go anywhere with yours necessarily. Not that I am either. I'm not trying to branch mine into like being an influencer or anything like that. But if like this were to turn into something cool, that'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. But this started for me as I'm not creative in any other way. Like I don't draw, I don't dance, I don't sing, right? Like my sisters are all really artistic. This is kind of my mouthpiece is my creativity.
Okay.
That's where I thrive, I feel.
I was going to say, that's a pun, right? My mouthpiece. Sorry, continue.
Right?
Because actually your mouth. Anyway.
So that's where I feel as though I thrive. And sometimes I'm funny, right? So I think that's it for me. So this is my creative outlet.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's how this started, just for fun. If it were to turn into something, like, I'm not going to be like, no, I need to keep it authentic. Like, if it were, I'm no one to turn down an opportunity. Mm-hmm. It'd be awesome.
And I'll be real. I'm the same. Like, if you told me, okay, you can make a living making or having conversations with people once a week, all the time, obviously I would do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings me to like, there's the people on the minimalists are an example of people who don't do like, or they're against advertisements.
Okay.
Then there's the people who I kind of respect, not kind of, but I respect people who they reluctantly advertise for like the first 2 minutes of their podcast so I can skip through it. And then they give me an advertisement free podcast. So at least I know, okay, I'm going to have to skip the first 2 to 5 minutes because they're going to advertise, they're going to make their money. I get it. And then they're going to give a full episode. But then I've been listening to certain people recently where it's like, they start out and then they have advertisements. They start their podcast and they disperse advertisements throughout it. So you can't, if you're on a bike ride, for example, you can't just skip the ads and have a good ride. It's like every 10 minutes you have to listen to a minute and a half of ads.
Yeah.
And I don't respect that. I think that's just, you're going to lose viewers or listeners that way.
Okay. I'm almost having trouble with like your wording of it though, because I'm trying to think. Okay, so it's like when I work at a restaurant, and when you come in to order a burger, okay, I try to upsell it. So you want to get this burger? Okay, do you want to add mushrooms for $1.75?
Okay.
Right? Do you lose respect for me because I'm adding a little something extra to get squeeze $2 out of you extra? Like, you know, like this is their business. Their business is heightened by the ads. Mm-hmm. Right? Me selling you the $16 burger becoming an $18 burger, like, is just me hustling, you know? Like,
what if you came to my table and I had a burger and you said, hey, you know what you would love is go to a movie later for Avalon. Do you, you know that tonight they have a deal where it's $10.99 for a movie and popcorn? It's like, then you're advertising for another company that's not related to the product I'm actually there for. So like, I'm, okay, you know what I mean? So like,
so,
then you're just cluttering my attention span with these shameless plugs for companies you don't even believe in. And that just gets me. I get the selling of...
Okay, so may I with that?
Go for it.
I listen to a podcast called The Morning Toast, and they're also like a morning show. So every morning they go live on their YouTube. And then I listen to it in podcast form when I can't watch it live because they're in New York City.
Okay.
So they do a Patreon channel where they do five extra episodes. So they did 2 whole hour-long episodes being like, what's the like tea on sponsoring, right? On sponsorships. And they were like, we genuinely try to take sponsorships that we use. Mm-hmm. And they use the product, like they do this one for like this like toothbrush company, and they'll use the brush for 3 months. And if they really like it, they'll usually do an ad on it. Like they try to be really transparent, and they're like, we see our listeners as our friends. And if I had a friend, I'd probably be like, hey, just so you know, like this, you know, one product that I'm loving, like you love it too. Like, they're like, we kind of see it as that. Mm. And we see an hour-long show with 3 2-minute ads as not that annoying.
But, you know, it's funny because they could do it. Like, their quote-unquote friends would prefer if they put all the 2-minute ads at the beginning for 6 minutes of ads and then an uninterrupted show. But they don't. They choose to intersperse them for the extra money they're making. Like, podcasters make more money if their show is interrupted with ads, then if they put all the same amount of ads at the beginning of the show. So like, if it really is quote unquote your friends, then take a bit of a pay. If you're doing it primarily for the reference or the recommendation to your friends, then put the ads right up at the front. So your friends can skip it if they want to, rather than, I don't know. That's just
that's a really, that's a good point. I just see it as it's like, that's how the business works. Like, that's how it goes. I'm just trying to think. I feel like there's so many different examples we could make, like tying the two together, where it's almost part of the territory. Like, I almost accept when I'm listening to a podcast that there's going to be an ad.
Do you skip them?
Okay, so that's another thing. It's how they deliver the ads that I'm more inclined to listen to.
Okay, so
elaborate. So like the Morning Toast, they'll be like, they did a dog DNA testing kit. Like, so random. That was their sponsorship. And their dog's name is Theo. And they're like, you know, she's like the one host, she's Jewish. And she's like, I wanted to know if my dog was Jewish. So she was like making like a big, and she's also a comedian. So she made this like whole shtick about her dog. And I was literally listening and I was like, I know this is an ad. Like, I know what company they're about to say, but it was just so funny. And then they began to sing like Lizzo's Truth Hurt song where she's like, I just took a DNA test, right? They like sang that as part of the ad. Like, they made it really enjoyable that by the time they were into the ad, I'm like, I'm not going to skip the next 10 seconds. Like, they're almost done. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's almost how, like, when they're like, hey, you should, you know, use this product because X, Y, Z. And they do like their, because there's a script that they have to follow, right? Like, I've read some of the ads thinking about doing it for mine. And like, they're very, there's like a script, but they're like, the more personal you make it, the easier it'll flow.
Yeah.
And I find when it's more personal and they've shown that they've like used the product, it's easier for me to listen to and I don't skip past it. Mm-hmm. Not because I necessarily care and I'm going to go buy that product, but just because I'm already listening and they're making it an enjoyable ad.
Mm-hmm. The classic argument against ads is I would rather pay you $5 a month for your content than listen to your ads. Because that's what people say. They say you can either have an advertisement funded.
Well, they want like Spotify. Every 7 songs you get an ad or something.
Unless you pay.
Unless you're paying.
I like that model.
Okay.
But the thing is, I'm also real cheap, and if I can get a podcast for free, I'd rather suck it up and listen to the ads than pay $5 for every podcast I want to listen to per month. But I think ultimately what we should probably be doing is the Netflix model, where it's like, or the Spotify model, where I'm paying this third party to assemble a bunch of good quality content for me,
okay,
and then I'm not listening to ads. So like, I'm paying you $20 a month for my 3 favorite podcasts, so I can listen to those unlimited with no ads. But I'm paying for it. And Spotify then pays each podcaster. That's my ideal world.
Okay, but coming from like an ethical standpoint, or I don't even know if it's like ethical, but just like, I think like the beauty of a podcast is that it's like free. Anyone can listen. Anyone can make one. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like what's kind of special about it. And I love that, you know, Spotify, like who just went to Spotify? It wasn't Joe Rogan, was it?
It was Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan. I believe Prince Harry and Meghan, okay, they now have a podcast. I think it's with a service. It's not free. Kim Kardashian's doing a podcast with like this law firm that she's with, right? Like, I think they're all going to be with like tied things. And part of me is like, I hate that I just can't get on and listen to someone that I really admire for free and then I have to pay for it. Whereas other podcasts, I love that I can just sign on and yeah, I have to listen to a couple ads, but like I get to just freely enjoy them. So I kind of wish that there wasn't this like, if you just pay for it, it'll be free and there's less ads. Like, I kind of like that for most podcasts, it's like, it's part of the listening experience. Like, you know, you do the ads because that's how they make money. Mm. Like, does that make sense?
So you'd rather have a free listening experience and put up with the ads than pay some money per month and have no ads. Like, you,
yes,
the ads is less of a burden for you than paying money would be.
Totally. Now, I also don't listen to many podcasts where there's anything over 3 ads in an hour episode. I don't know many podcasts that are like riddled with ads.
I know one.
Really?
So one thing I also wanted to talk to you about is you just mentioned Prince Harry.
Yep.
Started a podcast. I found that lately people have been starting podcasts like mad.
Totally.
And the one that just started up is called Smartless. And it's Will Arnett,
okay,
Jason Bateman, and a third guy that
he's
considerably less famous than those two. Because Jason Bateman and Will Arnett were in Arrested Development.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yes.
Hilarious.
Like an episode or two.
Okay, well, you should watch the whole thing. It's great. Anyway, so it's the three of them with pretty short ads, and there's probably 3 ads per hour.
Okay.
And the ads are about 2.5 to 3 minutes each.
Okay.
Which is a lot for me. Like, when you, and they do the thing where it's like a skit with them. It's like, oh, hey, Will, what do you do when your car needs a tire? You know what I mean? And like, it's like, oh, you're debasing. It's like a really, really famous person who goes bankrupt and then does a commercial for Old Spice. Okay, that's the wrong example because those commercials are hilarious. However, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's the...
Feels like a
like Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg does the commercials. What does he do them for?
Snoop Dogg?
Yeah.
Oh, with like Martha Stewart?
Wait. I don't know. Snoop Dogg is a classic guy who does commercials.
Snoop Dogg? I was thinking that that one actor who everyone loves, who does the Ford commercials. You know?
Oh, Matthew McConaughey.
Thank you. I was thinking of Snoop Dogg. What does Snoop Dogg do?
Also, who's that guy who does the Canadian commercials where it's him and he has an assistant? And he has like, he's always, oh, it's Skip the Dishes, isn't it?
Yeah, Skip. He's in the movie Tag. I love him. He's a really funny actor.
He's very, very funny. I can't remember his name.
Me neither.
Anyways, this is neither here nor there. What was I saying?
We're talking about celebrities doing their own podcast. Oh, so yeah. Are we like for it? Are you asking if I'm for it or against it, or what I think?
Let's leave this advertising thing behind because I think we're too separate.
In a perfect world, there'd be no ads. But I also want people to make that coin. So I'm not opposed to it.
Mm. Okay. I respect that. But okay, on to the next thing. For me, I started my podcast in October or September of 2020. And I didn't know at the time, but I think that's when a lot of people were starting podcasts because of COVID. Because a lot of comedians, a lot of actors, a lot of people in the entertainment business were out of money. Or like they weren't making an income and they had a lot of free time.
Okay.
And they know how easy it is. The barrier of entry for podcasting is so low.
Yeah.
So you have all these people, like the three comedians I was mentioning, and a lot of political people. Like I think Hillary Clinton just started a podcast. Prince Harry.
Wait, really?
I think so.
Oh my gosh, why?
She was on one of the podcasts I listened to and she mentioned she was planning to start a podcast. And so there's this
Stay in your lane, Hillary.
I agree. But the thing is, everyone sees how easy it is and how lucrative it can be. And if you are famous, it's easy.
Your entire fan base over
with you. All you have to do is announce on Twitter or Instagram or whatever your interface with your fan base is. Mm-hmm. Say, I'm starting a podcast. Here's the link. Boom. You have an advertisable business.
Yep. Aside from the actual ads, it's relatively interruption free. Like you get an uninterrupted hour with your favorite celebrity, quote unquote, favorite celebrity, whatever it is for you, right? Like you could learn a lot in that hour.
Or you could just have a great time.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
In the case of Hillary, you probably wouldn't learn so much. Oh, you're kidding.
Are you wrong? I don't think so. But
That's not fair. But it's kind of a shame in a way. Or basically, the people who've been podcasting for 10 years now, they were the first adopters.
Yeah.
But now we're gonna see a flood of people, and it's gonna make it really hard for anyone to succeed who doesn't have, like, you and I will have a much harder time succeeding, quote unquote, now than we would have if we started a podcast 6 years ago. Because there's so many more famous people out there saturating the market.
Would you argue though that they may also lose speed? Like they may also, I'm not really passionate about it.
True. That could be. And the thing is, I've seen a lot of, I was watching a podcast or listening to a podcast today. You know, the Canucks?
Like the hockey team?
Yeah. Have you heard of Ryan Kessler?
Yeah.
Kevin Bieksa?
Yes.
Okay. So they have a podcast called Kess and Juice.
Oh, really?
It's great.
And how long have they been podcasting for?
Here's the thing. They started at the end of 2019, early 2020.
Okay.
Just before the pandemic hit. And they did 12 episodes, 14 episodes, and then they haven't done since mid-2020. So that's an example of people who got into it, messed around with it, eventually just decided it wasn't for them.
Yep.
So it might happen that way. It might be that in 2022, we see like a 50% reduction in podcasters because it was the podcasting boom of COVID, you know?
Totally.
But who knows?
I also feel like a lot of reality stars do it. So a lot of, here's my take on it. So there's someone named Mariana Hewitt. She owns a skincare brand for Sephora and I love it. And she...
Skincare brand for Sephora.
From Sephora.
Okay.
Yeah. They started in 2018, was her first product launch, and she does very well. She has now kind of blossomed into this like influencer because she's also very interesting to listen to. She worked as a talk show host and a radio host for years prior. She's been in Hollywood in that scene for a long time. So she has a lot of like knowledge.
Uh-huh.
So she has a podcast now where she interviews other big brand owners about their brands. And they're now really good friends, obviously, because of their standings, but their conversations are very interesting because if I want to learn how to make a product sell really well, or if I want to learn how to hustle, like I'm going to listen to her brand. Like the reality stars who came off, you know, their season of Big Brother or like The Batch, they don't interest me as much. Mm-hmm. No offense, because, you know, they got famous off of like a reality show, yeah. and it doesn't necessarily speak to their like talent necessarily.
Yeah.
Whereas Mariana Hewitt, she's for sure a celebrity starting a podcast, but like she has worked her butt off to be where she is. She has a very, like a very nice brand, skincare brand. She's been a host. She's been on radio. She's done people's makeup. Like she's just, she's worked on all these different avenues. Like I would much rather give my listening money, her ad money to her than a reality star, even though in like their standing in Hollywood may be similar. Cause I feel like I would gain more from Mariana's podcast than Jessica Nielsen, who was like the winner of Big Brother and Amazing Race like 3 years ago. She's a podcast. Both? Yeah.
Wow.
She, her and her now husband Cody left Big Brother.
Wait a second, Cody.
Yeah. Cody Nickerson, I believe.
Wasn't he like, I think I remember this. He was, him and his girlfriend who's blonde were super unliked or disliked by everyone. And he was a cowboy, Cody.
Okay,
it doesn't matter.
No, all good. I just didn't watch them. I just listened to their podcast because she was on someone else's podcast. That's how I found her. But they, you know, they were on a reality show. They're just like a normal couple. And it's like they're interesting to listen to, but I don't learn anything from their podcast because they interview other reality stars, like their friends, right? Like Mariana, I'm listening to her interview her best friend who happens to own like this massive hair company. And I've used their product for years. Like I want to hear their origin story. I want to hear how they worked for nothing all those years to get to where they are now, right? Like,
what do you want to learn? You say I don't learn anything from the reality stars. What do you want to learn? Like, what do you go into a podcast wanting to learn?
So her podcast, I go into because that's her shtick. She interviews big brand owners like Melissa Wood Health. The owner, Melissa Wood, like she owns this giant Pilates studio in LA and she's like taken all over the country, right? She's like this amazing wellness instructor and she's built a brand off of doing Pilates videos in her home. Like she's just like, I just want to learn how to be a good like brand owner.
So it's market. Entrepreneurial.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I was like, what's the word I'm looking for? Whereas another podcast that I listen to, it's two girls in college who are like my age. Just kind of talking about like how they live their life. That I listen to more to like turn off my brain. Just listen to friends of mine talk, right? When I listen to her podcast or someone else's, I'm genuinely listening to learn something.
Yeah.
And to get an experience. It's like going to like a free TED Talk for me.
That's a really important distinction, I think. Because I was listening to a Sam Harris episode the other day. Do you know Sam Harris?
No.
He's a philosopher / neuroscientist.
Okay.
And he had this...
Is he really controversial?
Sometimes.
I feel like I've heard of him.
Anyway, this particular episode, he had a psychologist arguing for the overwhelming effect of your genes on who you become.
Okay.
And the words were so advanced and it was so... Like, it was so much psychological jargon that I like had to pause because I couldn't... I wasn't synthesizing the information in my head. Whereas I flip on Joe Rogan sometimes.
Right.
And I'm just listening because he's, for lack of a better word, shooting the shit with the buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to have some noise on for a couple hours while I'm doing something around the apartment. If I'm not like concentrating. So there is room for both.
I also like, I think about the most like successful podcasts and a lot of them, like The Skinny Confidential has been on the air for over 5 years. It does very well in the charts. And Lauren and Michael, their husband and wife, they are like essentially nobodies. They've become famous because of their podcast and they're like really high on the charts and their fame and their brand is because of the podcast and what they do for a living. Like mm-hmm. The people who are doing very well on the charts, I feel a lot of them are famous for not being celebrities. Am I wrong on that? Like the people who are over at Barstool, they're not celebrities. They're famous because of their podcast. Am I correct? Or are there any celebrity podcasts on Barstool?
Are you talking Spit and Chiclets?
Spit and Chiclets, Call Her Daddy.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They were just two girls in New York who were best friends.
Well, Spit and Chiclets, there was a couple of NHL players in that, I think. Paul Bissonnette is an edit. I mean, he's not a star, but he's an ex-NHL player.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong.
No, but I think the distinction would be, though, okay, well, they're famous because they're nobody, but at the same time... There are millions of nobodies trying to make podcasts, and not all of them are succeeding. So I think these people, anyone who succeeds in anything has some quality that mm-hmm. works. Like the reality stars you talked about who make a podcast and are successful probably are pretty charismatic.
Some of them, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we all know people in our daily life who just, you could, they could try all they want. They just wouldn't be able to capture people's attention talking, and vice versa. There are some people who you are around and you just think, man, I could listen to you talk all day.
Yeah. That's us. Just kidding.
No. I think it's one of those things where probably the people who most should make podcasts, there's so many, it's unlimited, because all you do is entertain
people.
I would
argue that there are people that we've probably had on our podcast where someone wouldn't look at them and be like, I feel like they have, you know, a lot to say in for the next however many hours. Like, same with, you know, both of ours. But I feel like, you know, I'm not saying we're these like amazing hosts, but we bring something out in those people, and our conversations bring something out in those people, and it becomes an episode, right? Like, I feel like, what was my point I was trying to make with this? I feel like you're right. Not everyone could like sustain on a podcast, but if you have like somewhat of a, like on a relative topic that you're both knowledgeable on, you could go pretty far with that.
Well, all I'm saying is there are people who I know that I think, man, well, I say man is like a genderless thing. Like,
no, for sure.
There are people who I know that I think, you are so charismatic. If you started a podcast, you would just kill. Mm-hmm. And that's not just because they're not famous. I guess I'm saying don't discredit the people, the reality stars who, like, anyone who gets famous from Big Brother or Survivor or anything, it's them. They're rising above all the other competitors for a reason, because they have a personality that captivates people.
That is a good point.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can't just say, oh, just a reality star, because they... that's just their origin. They just climbed out of obscurity because that was their first opportunity.
Yeah, and it gave them like the platform. And yeah, exactly. And they're now successful with that platform. Yeah, like one of the contestants on The Batch, she is a full-fledged psychologist. Mm. And she did pretty well on the series. She went on to the spinoff show and everything. She's like, I don't want anything to do with the show anymore. Like, I'm done. I'm free. Starts her own podcast. Does very well with it because she's coming at it from the platform that she has as an, you know, somewhat influencer. Mm-hmm. And her background in psychology, that was like the framework that she took her podcast in, like being a psychologist, but she took her like platform as an influencer to kind of like bring in the fans. So
absolutely. I think that's one thing I underestimated is when I started my podcast, I thought, oh, there's so many people who are successful just talking. But I realized they're experts. And if they're not experts, like Joe Rogan's not an expert in anything except fighting and maybe smoking weed. And the reason he's so successful is because he brings on Elon Musk 3 times or these high profile guests. Yeah.
So like that's Kanye on for 4 hours. Like,
yeah. Yeah. How can you beat talking to, is Elon the CEO of Tesla?
Yes.
Or something. I think he's a CEO of probably, and maybe the founder too, of the most, one of the most prominent companies of the 21st century.
And he's regarded as one of like the smartest people.
Oh, you can, it comes right through. His rational rigor comes right through when you're listening to him. It's insane. Have you listened to any
Joe Rogan's?
Well,
not of any Elon Musk, no.
Any Joe Rogan?
I listened to the Kanye one.
What do you think?
Some of it made no sense. I was honestly like really struggling. I have a really weird take on Kanye, some people are probably like rolling their eyes. And of course, some people who know me who are listening are like, of course you listen to that one of all of them. But I think Kanye, like in some sense, can be like super brilliant. And I think the way he thinks like in 10 years in the future when he talks, like you can just kind of tell. And I think he's really interesting, but sometimes what he says doesn't hit and like doesn't land. Mm. So half the episode I was like, wow, this guy is just on a whole different level. And then half of it I was like, whoa, like what is he doing? Like I couldn't even understand. It didn't sound like English, part of it. Like you know what I mean? Like I was struggling that much. So that was obviously, I should have listened to a different kind of episode of Joe Rogan's to get a better handle on Joe Rogan. But
well, one thing Joe Rogan said during that episode was, I was worried to have you on because I thought it would only hurt you. Because people like exposing the world to Kanye West uninterrupted for 2 hours, he's kind of, his connection with reality is very tenuous.
Yeah.
Like he has this, he's a lot of delusions of grandeur. Mm-hmm. And is he bipolar?
Yes, he is.
So that. Believe it or not, I mean, that's part of, like, that's common. I think it's a common symptom of people who are like manic is,
yeah,
is like, oh, I'm the chosen one. And he, in that podcast, he says, I need to be present because God chose me.
Which is like, in religious terms, isn't that like pretty sacrilegious? Like claiming yourself as
the chosen one?
Yeah. Isn't that the term for that?
Interesting. I never even thought of that. I just thought you're, because Joe Rogan says, okay, well, like God chose you, but why? And he's like, oh, I just think I can unite the people. And it's like, that's not a reason.
No, see, that's the thing. I was like listening and I was like, oh, see, this is where he's losing me. But like, I think in how he sees, now we're just talking about Kanye West, we can like jump from this.
Everyone
but
knows
I don't
Kanye
know.
West.
Yeah. I think he's very interesting to listen to and how, and I think for me, it came, I was more from like a style perspective, like how he sees trends and stuff, like whatever Kanye says, like goes. And I think that's less about his wife's platform and speaks more to like just him as a person. Like he's so influential and he took this like position as like a rapper, which he is. And he's turned it into like this whole, like he himself is a brand. And I think it's very smart how he's like, and he did it very slow. Like, I don't know. I just feel like how Kanye, I'm talking like Kanye now, I'm making no sense, but how Kanye like branded himself, I think was really smart, and how he like branded his wife and the whole family has been really smart. And I have a lot of like respect for him and how he views himself and.
Really?
Yeah. Sometimes.
I think what's the distinction between being a genius in trends and just creating the trends? Like at a certain point, he's put himself in a situation where whatever he says, as you say, whatever he says goes. It's not like he's foreseeing the trends. He just does whatever he wants and that becomes popular because he's so
But popular. At the time, he gets a lot of flack for it.
True.
Like Kim did this talk show a few weeks ago and she was like, when Kanye became my stylist in secret in 2008, he put me in these like random outfits that I got so much shit for, like so much. And 2 years later, everyone was wearing it. And he made those calls. I fired my stylist and Kanye would dress me and no one knew. And like just here, and you're looking at these outfits and you're like, that's like, maybe not to you. Like I just like really love like the Met Ball and things like that. Like certain looks, I'm like, that is iconic. Like that will go down in history as like the best look. And knowing that he saw that then, knowing that in like 10 years, my wife will be the end all be all for this look. Even though in the moment they were like memes being made about her and all the, right? Like she's getting so much flack. So I'm like, I don't know if did he create that trend or did he see it? Right?
It's a fine distinction. It's a fine line between creating a trend and just anticipating a trend.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to go off on a tangent on Kanye.
Who's one person that you wish would start a podcast so you could get a greater insight into who they are or what they're about?
Do you have an answer?
I haven't, but I can think of one.
I know, I'm trying to think of who I really... I would love to see someone in like a legal profession or a political profession like really do an expose on like their life through a podcast. But I think that would be like pulling the curtain back too much and then we'd see a lot of like mishap that happens and then it would kind of be like their downfall. But
a legal profession? Like snooze fest.
You think?
Like, oh, this is what goes on with the paperwork before a court date. Like we kind of already see CSI gives us the best parts of the legal profession. I'm kidding.
I don't know. Like, well, okay. I think I'm thinking more like Marcia Clark. She'd be cool.
Who's that?
She was the prosecution team for O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
Like, or no, Johnny Cochran, who was the defense lawyer for O.J. Simpson. I'd listen to him. He completely won that case. When I, in my mind, watching it, I'm like, there's no way and he did. Like, I think it'd be interesting to interview people who came out on top when it looked like regardless of whether of my feelings on the OJ trial, Johnny Cochran would just be really interesting because he won in a case that was so clearly the way I saw it stacked against him.
Okay. So that your answer would be Johnny Cochran.
Yeah. I feel like I'm gonna have a way better answer when I listen back and be like, no, Hannah, stupid.
Yeah, well, I sprung it on you.
I think I'd want Kris Jenner on one episode to be like, did you release Kim's sex tape? That would be the only...
You just want one question with
question,
him?
Yeah. I think it's just turning into what would I ask. I think, yeah, Johnny Cochran or Jen Atkin, who is a hair care brand owner from LA. But she's also on a lot of podcasts, so maybe I'm getting the exact same thing when she's on it.
Yeah, some people have a certain amount to give, and once they give that, it's like, okay, I don't have any new content.
Yeah. Who's yours?
One that comes to mind is Will Ferrell, to be honest.
Really?
I think he is hilarious, and I heard him on... Will Ferrell is the funniest comedian
of
my young generation.
Like, Bill Burr? You wouldn't do Bill Burr?
Bill Burr. I know who that is, but I don't really know who that is. Who is that?
Or like Dave Chappelle, he has a lot of like specials on Netflix.
Oh.
He's very controversial.
There are funny people who are comedians. I'm thinking Will Ferrell because he is hilarious as an actor. But then even in his interviews or his SNL, like he just is hilarious for some reason. And I've heard him, I've seen him on a podcast for an hour. And he's hilarious. And he has a way with stories that just you just want to keep listening and listening. I just think for my entertainment, I would love to hear him have to just take his own show on the road.
That would be so... I love Will Ferrell too. Mm-hmm. I think he's so... Some of his like skits on SNL are just like so legendary, but...
Have you seen... do you like movies with him as well?
I mean, the first one that comes to like, my mind is Elf, but he did one with Mark Wahlberg. And they had a sequel.
It's a really good
movie. What's it called?
It's called The Other Guys.
Oh, that's Mark Wahlberg?
Yeah.
No. That's not Mark Wahlberg.
The other guys, they're police officers.
No, Daddy's Home. Daddy's Home. That's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, Daddy's Home is not nearly as funny as The Other Guys.
You think The Other Guy? Okay. I think Will Ferrell is a very specific, he can play a very specific role super well. And it's just, it never makes me not laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just think he, did we just become best friends? Yep. Like, he's so funny. Okay, I think, I'm sorry.
Can
I know
you're
like,
answer?
Yeah, Seth Rogen. I love Seth Rogen.
He's, for lack of a better word, he's a dinkus.
Like you think?
I don't know. I think he can be funny, but he's a definition of a typecast guy. He has one role, the stoner. That's all he can do.
He was in a movie called, like, not The Politician, but he was in one where he played, like, the speechwriter for a woman running for president.
Was it serious? Was it drama?
It was, like, a... No, but okay. Like it was sold as that, but he made it like really funny.
Mm.
And he just like, he was the stoner, but he, I don't know. I just love him. Mm. I just think he's so funny.
He's funny.
Would marry him tomorrow. Like, I think he's literally the funniest person on earth.
Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like the movie like Knocked Up with like Katherine Heigl. Like, I just think that's such a good movie because of him. I don't even like Katherine Heigl. Anyways. Okay. Sorry.
I think comedians is safe. I think that's why so many comedians are starting podcasts, because it's they're entertainers at heart. You know?
Well, look at like Cody Ko. He was a YouTuber and he did so well. He's like him and his friend Noel start like they have a podcast now and it does super well, but it's basically just like their YouTube channel when they would do videos like together on a podcast. And they're like low brow comedians and they just are really funny. Like, I don't know. It's just, there's something about like a podcast that you can just put on and listen to aimlessly that I think gets the most views.
Yeah. I think that's borne out in the most successful podcasts of, the most successful podcasts of 2020, 2021, last decade.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Speaking of podcasts, that's the theme of this episode, of course. What, in your experience so far, how many episodes have you done?
18.
Wow.
Well, released.
Released.
18.
And you have the 20 or 21?
21, yeah.
Wow, that's a lot. Good for you.
Thank you.
Pros and cons. I'll phrase it differently. What's fun about it? What are your favorite things about what you're doing? And what are your least favorite things? One thing, two things?
So self-proclaimed narcissist isn't like the right word for it, but I do really, I don't mind the sound of my own voice. It's just how it is. It's the truth. Okay. I really don't mind how I sound and I love talking.
Okay.
So I think for me, I get an uninterrupted however long I want just to talk and just to have a conversation with someone. So for me, I love that I can just, it's like a place for me just to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I especially love when I get to interview people who I like look up to. I think that's really, that's like a big pro for me. Mm-hmm. And it, I think in any other sense, it would be weird just to be like, can I just like interview you just like, you know, on like the street, right? Like that would just kind of be weird. But with like a podcast, like there's the understanding that like the question, like I always send them like a list prior, but like there's, you know, it's like the premise that we're going to be, that I'm going to be interviewing you or asking questions, right? So I think I get away with it more, like being able to ask questions and being more like inquisitive, which I really like. So mm-hmm. I get to learn. It's honestly like for me, I get to learn a lot and I get to showcase people, which I also love. People who are on my podcast aren't always super outspoken or aren't super chatty. And I feel like I do my best to make them super like loose and comfortable and just want to chat, which I like seeing them open up as well.
So your PR answer is I get to learn a lot.
That was three things.
No. So your PR answer is I get to learn a lot.
Okay.
And your real answer is because I get to talk a lot.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. What don't you like? What's...
Editing super annoying.
Oh, totally.
I have a speech impediment.
What? And
yeah, I know you can't. I probably haven't even stuttered once on here, but I do. It was really bad when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know, but my dad, Larry, I'm shouting you out here. He had like a terrible stutter. Like it was like and if you know my dad, he doesn't stutter at all.
No.
So mine was like not quite that bad, but it was pretty bad. And it's so funny. They were like, should we do speech therapy? And my parents were like, no, like she'll grow out of it. I never did. I just had to like learn to live with it. So my parents put me in pageants and musical theater, and I was always on stage performing. And I was the announcer at like the hockey games that we had in our town. Like I did everything to get around it because that was the only way through it. Like that's at least how my parents put it. So like you just have to like break through. You have to just like work past it. So I think for me, a lot of times when I do stumble over my words on my own podcast, I can edit it out pretty well. But I hate that like in the moment, like I catch myself doing it and I'm like, oh, I wish I could just like not have this be like something that happens. Like, you know what I mean?
I've never heard it. I can't remember hearing it on your podcast.
So
you edit out scrupulously? What?
Yeah. Mm. And it normally comes from me from reading off something that I have. Like if I'm just talking, I can get around my, like the certain words that I like stumble on and that I have as like trigger words right there. But
is trigger a word?
Sometimes. Yeah. Hard G's, hard D's, hard T's. Yeah. Huh. It's really hard. Yeah. That's why I call my dad Papa, because the word dad can be hard for me sometimes.
Interesting.
But yeah, when I was younger, that's what I called him because it was hard for me to say dad. Now it's fine, right? I would go like Father Larry, Papa, because I didn't want to do it in public. I was so nervous. So I can like get around my words when I talk just off the cuff like this, right? But when I'm reading off like a list of questions that I have for myself, I have to be like really careful to write it in a way that I know I can say it. That makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Like I had the owner of Unsalted Honey on my podcast. Her episode's dropping soon and her name is Tiffany, which I really struggle with T's. And I was like, this sucks. Her first name was Tiffany. It was so hard.
And you say that a lot?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing. Most people are like, no, you don't. And I'm like, I do though. I hide it super well.
And you've mentioned it before, but I've never heard, I wouldn't tell you, I would never have remembered hearing you stutter until today.
Really?
Ever. Not once. Not
doing my job, right?
You're doing your job very well. So how was that? The Unsalted Honey. So tell us a little bit about that episode, because that was the first big break.
Well, can I ask what your pro and what your con is?
Oh, sure.
I want to hear yours.
Good catch. The best part is having an excuse to have a conversation. A long time.
That's a nicer way of saying me being like, I like talking. Like that's yeah. way nicer than how
yeah.
I put it.
Yeah, but it's also like people will put up with a bit more of me pushing them on things too. Does that make sense? So mm-hmm. if they're here to have a conversation, I get away with challenging people. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I'm in like a group or whatever, and there's a conversation going on, and I push back on people, people might get frustrated and shut down. Okay. Especially if it's in any way controversial, because I've had some controversial conversations so far.
They're the best ones to have.
Can be. Absolutely.
And I guess, yeah, when you're around in like someone's house having a few drinks and they're like, oh, Brayden, not again. Right? Like I get how that might be like, oh, not tonight. But when you're on a podcast, like, and you come on, you're like warranted in the experience. Like it's, you know, mm-hmm. it gives you more leeway.
Yes, absolutely. It's a license to be a bit controversial at times. I don't like the sound of my own voice. Unlike you, I cringe when I'm listening back and editing, I'm trying to slow down because I'm just rush, racing through things. What do I don't like? I don't like editing because that's the hard work of it. And I'm a perfectionist, so I'm like, I'll start with the intention to just chop in what I want to have and kind of leave it otherwise. But then I find myself shortening up gaps, especially for people. I have had certain guests who will say, a little bit of what they're saying, like, well, if you think about it and you really discuss it, and it's like, it's just a whole bunch of
filler.
Yeah, filler. And I sometimes shorten that up. But then the more you shorten that, the more you, it's a snowball effect where you just keep doing more and more rigorous edits.
Okay.
And then you spend 3 hours editing a 2-hour podcast.
Which is meant to be like a fun experience
in
your life.
Yeah. But I mean, okay. It's the same thing with writing though. Anything that you do, quote unquote, for fun, if it's worth doing, it's some work. Like you can't just expect to have a conversation, have it come out perfect and golden and totally ready to be listened to front to back.
Mm-hmm.
So some editing is baked into the process, I think.
Yes. And also it would be like, I mean, I guess just being like, sure, send, like, that sounds good. Like it makes you proud of it when you put some work into it as well. Like, so
I agree.
Doing the editing, it's like worth it in the end because you're really proud of what you're putting out.
Yeah, it's the sweat hours.
Mm-hmm.
I will say one thing also that it's been one blessing that I've had is I'm starting to be more comfortable with publishing, taking a public position that I know won't garner me much respect.
Mm-hmm.
So like if I have a position that is controversial on something, putting it on podcasts has made me comfortable with it and kind of let it go. Like, okay, people are going to hear this. Some people are going to say, oh, that guy, I never thought he was a bad guy, but he is a bad guy.
Oh, you know? I hate that people think that.
Well, I understand. If they have a different opinion, like if we both have the opposite idea of what's good,
mm-hmm.
oh well, I mean, they're not going to like me.
Yeah.
But you kind of have to just deal with that. Whereas in your regular life, you can kind of get away with never saying your opinion. You know what I mean? So that can be your default. It's okay, never say anything that makes someone dislike me. Mm-hmm. Whereas you can't really get away with that in a podcast unless you're super careful.
Yeah. I've had people, just choked a little bit. I've had people like message me being like, hey, so I just finished your episode. I really disagree with what you said or with what you or the person that you had on. When I had you and Corbin on mine, I had someone text me and be like, I did not agree with what any of you said. And it was a topic when we all had a very different opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what's the fourth opinion here? Like, I thought we covered all the bases. So I'm with that. I'm with you on that. Like, you can't please everyone. And I've almost let it go. I'm like, well, it's out there. Like, listen to it and agree or don't. Like, just don't play the podcast if you don't want to agree or if you don't want
to
listen.
I say listen to it and agree or don't, but you have to play the podcast. You have to listen.
Give me the listen. Yeah. Give me the listen. Give me the view.
Yeah.
I know. I love, like, watching after, like, a week and just, like, I'm like, how many, you know, whatever did I get on this? And just kind of seeing it's, like, it's nice just to see.
See, I can't do that.
Really?
I had the initial bump from, like, oh, all the people that I know and interact with saying, oh, Brayden has a podcast. Let's check this out. And then a steady decline since then.
Same. It's not like I'm getting what I did in the very beginning or on some episodes. Do you ever, like, message friends and be like, what title would, like, really bring you in? Like, who could I have on that would really, like,
that's a good idea. Like, what do you call it? Market research?
Yeah.
I haven't done any of that.
I had someone the other day, they were like, Hannah, like, they're like, as a guy, I think you should have someone on who knows a lot about, like race cars or something. And I was like, all right, like, I'll do my best.
Like Formula One?
Like Formula One.
Shout
out
to Zach.
Unofficial co-host of your podcast.
Mm-hmm.
No, I meant like, just like anyone who knows about like anything having to do with cars might just bring in a different kind of audience, right, for that episode. Or someone was like a male barber. Like, I feel like a hairstylist, and I'm like, okay, I mean, I had Gabby on, but like, no, like a male barber. And I'm like, all right, like, you know what I mean?
Are
like,
you gonna do that? Don't bend. Don't, like, if you aren't excited by having the prospect of having a conversation with a male barber, it's not gonna be a good episode. Because you can be like, oh, how's the comb? How's your comb work?
No, what makes you think I'm not excited?
Do you stroke clockwise or do you stroke counterclockwise?
No, but my podcast is labeled a lifestyle podcast. It's literally anything I want it to be.
Yeah, anything, quote, anything you want it to be. Not anything your friends request it to be. Because if you keep bending, like, you can get carried away trying to chase people's, like, approval or people's interest. Whereas maybe they're going to like that one episode with the barber. They're not going to listen after that. So you kind of just have to do what you want and keep the people who are actually going to listen because they enjoy it. You know, like be comfortable with your niche.
That's a good point. I would say though, I more do the market research, not to be like, what would make you listen, but like, what would make my podcast more like relatable to more people? Like when I do my current favorites, I did an episode a few episodes ago that was like my current favorites, and it was everything that I use. And I listened back and I was like, a lot of these are like female based products or female based things. I'm like, this perfume. I'm like, well, you, Braden, you're not going to go out and buy that perfume. Like you have no interest in that perfume. It's not marketed towards you anyways. Right. Like I listened back and I was like, that one episode didn't really play to anyone who was a male or, you know, more masculine in that sense. Right. Like I kind of was like, I wish I didn't just like leave out all my male listeners in that sense. Right. So I want my podcast to be something where I can get listeners of all, you know, genders or all ages right in and wanting to listen. So for me, having a, you know, someone who does men's hair isn't like, oh, I'm letting like my listeners control what I want my narrative to be. It's providing content that more than just someone who's just like me will want to listen to.
What makes you think that you can interest people who aren't like you? Like what makes you think you'll be interesting to men or to certain men? Like you don't, it's not just, it doesn't go without saying that you have the ability to bring,
right.
Like for me, I probably won't bring in people who are in their listening experience for casual,
totally
fun conversation. I'm not a casual fun kind of guy. In some things, but in terms of conversations,
I'm not a casual fun guy.
I'm pretty serious.
Yep.
And
very true.
I think I'm excluding a lot of people who are kind of happy-go-lucky in their listening. But I don't think I have the ability to bring
it
in.
No, and you have me on. Just kidding. Yeah.
True. You're right.
That's a good point.
Oh, come on. Don't give me that. Don't patronize me.
No. Like, I'm saying, though, like, you're right, though. That is a really... I'm trying to, like... Man, I back you into a corner. I don't really know.
I guess. I'm not trying to back you into a corner.
Sorry. No. I feel as though I also want, though, that perspective.
Okay.
Like, if that makes sense. Like, you're right, in a sense. Like, I am giving into what my listeners, you know, want in that sense. If I'm asking them what would make them listen, right? But I also am interested to learn. Like, men's fashion is something that I'm really interested in, but I'd rather have, like, a male or someone who, you know, who is male, like, to come on and tell me about the trends rather than me just being, like, I picked this out as a guy's trend. Right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, things like that. I feel as though I would rather have someone who's, you know, for lack of a better word, an expert on.
Yeah. I think it's funny you say, oh, but I'm actually interested in learning. Right. So if you're doing things that you're actually interested in learning, and why do you need to ask your friends? Like, why do you need to ask people who listen for the next idea? Like, just do what you're interested in. Like,
I'm a little maybe self-centered in that sense, though.
Self-centered.
I wasn't even thinking about how like racing or driving, like how that would interest my fans. But now I'm like, oh, actually, that would be really interesting to learn about. But I didn't think about that because I was going off of what I hear in the podcast that I listen to.
Do you think people can be as compelling an interviewer if they don't care about the content? Like if I was to interview someone who, I'm not into fashion.
Okay.
If I was to interview someone who owned a shoe line about the nuances between the 2019 insert shoe here and the 2020 insert shoe here, like I just wouldn't, it wouldn't come through as if I was interviewing someone about something I actually cared about and was passionate about and had a prior knowledge of.
Okay. So... Okay, that's a good point. What I will say with that, though, is I am very interested, like in my personal life, I like learning about origin stories and what you did to get to where you are now. So I think with that, okay, men's fashion, I'm not a guy, I don't really care about men's fashion in that sense, but like, how did you build your brand? Mm-hmm. And now as a side question, like, what are some trends that you see? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I would get what I wanted out of the interview, maybe in a sense, and then ask questions to learn more about them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're saying you don't like the shoe company, right? But it might interest you to learn about like the back end business of it. What are the things you have to look out for, right? When you're running your own business, like how did you not get swindled by the big execs, right? Like, I don't know. I feel like you could make it, you could do whatever topic that might interest someone else and make it work for your niche.
Yeah. If you're someone who is skilled at crafting a conversation in any scenario, you're going to be able to get a good hour and a half out of anyone, mm-hmm. no matter how disinterested you are in the content of what they do every day.
Yep.
Yeah. I think you're right. It's funny. I probably had an opinion that wasn't really my own. One thing Joe Rogan says all the time, really annoyingly, is, "Oh man, this podcast only works because I interview people I want to talk to," and he keeps saying it over and over and over. And part of me is like, "Yeah, man, you're right. The reason your podcast works is because you don't take orders. You don't care too much." He's not in the comment section pouring over what people want and giving it to them. Okay. He's doing what he wants, and people, like, he's saying stay or go, like listen or don't. But I think there is room for an honest reflection. Okay, what do people want? Like, maybe I could be interested in what they want. Maybe it could be a happy balance of, okay, I'll make myself happy with what people want.
So take the podcast. Yeah, no, 1,000%. Take your podcast and imagine you're like a brand owner now, right? Like, how many brands we know online who are like, we want to hear from our, you know, the people who use our brand. Like, what product do you want us to release next? Like Mariana Hewitt's skincare brand. She's always doing, what skincare item do you want from us? They have masks for the face, an eye cream, a moisturizer, a body lotion. Mm-hmm. She's like, what do you guys want to see next? Now, they already have products lined up. They want to know what you guys want release next, but they don't know that. Like, us as the people purchasing the product, we don't know that she has all these products lined up. On many occasions, though, she'll be like, oh, you guys want like a vitamin C serum? Awesome. We're, you know, dropping that next month. Like, she has all these like lined up. So she's created products, and then she looks at all the responses. What is it that most of our, you know, like the market that we're trying to, or the group they're trying to market to, what do they want most? Oh, they want a vitamin C serum. Well, let's speed up that production and make that happen as soon as possible. Right. So part of it is like, so now if we take like the podcast in terms of like our product, like you want to produce what people are going to want to listen to, you know, like my brand is, I'm making content, I'm making good conversations. What do you want the conversations to be about? Like, does that make sense?
Well, I guess there's two options. The best way to is figure out what you want and reverse engineer it. So if you want a successful brand, if you want your podcast to be a successful brand, it makes sense for your starting point to be, what do people want? What do people want to consume? But if you want your podcast to be a platform on which you just exercise your own creative interest, then it doesn't make sense to start by asking people what they want. It makes sense to just do what you want. Would you agree?
That's true.
Well,
which is interesting because I'm like, I do mine because I like talking and I just want a creative outlet. But then here I am being like, what can I do to get people to listen?
No, well, it's clear you're driven to build your listenership. That's clear. It's coming through. That's good. It's good to have ambition.
Yeah.
For me, maybe I'm just lying about my ambition because I'm afraid to fail. You know, that could be the case. I don't know. I probably, if I had a bunch, like at the beginning, I had a lot of guys on.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie, I had a thought of like, oh, maybe I should get some girls on, or women. But then I thought, you know what? For a lot of people have friends of the same sex. Like, mm-hmm. a lot of people, the majority of the people they interact with are intimate with the same sex. So yeah. I can't be beating myself up if I don't have an equal representation of men and women on my podcast.
Yeah.
You know? So I had to kind of quash that insecurity. Even if it meant that people would be like, oh, it's just a boys club on his podcast. We're not going to listen.
Have you had many girls on? And Amanda?
Just you two.
Me? Really?
I think so.
Oh my goodness.
Out of 10 episodes? So 20%.
And then like three of those episodes with the same person.
Pardon me?
You had Zach on three times. Yeah, so yeah. Out of, yeah. Okay.
Well, so far.
Out of six episodes. It's been two girls and four boys. And then Zach counts as one, right?
Yeah. Oh, true, actually. Right? Good point. I don't know. I started the podcast hoping for it to be like kind of philosophy and serious and like rigorous. You know what I mean? Like maybe controversial debate style. But I realized that I'm not going to get a lot of guests who want to do that. So I kind of had to adjust my own expectations and realize that I just like talking to people. Mm-hmm. So I'll do my best to get guests that I think this would be interesting. But at the same time, yeah, maybe people don't want to hear me talk to Zach three times in a matter of 10 episodes or 6 episodes or 7 episodes. But I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the third episode of Zach was great. I had a great time.
Formula One, baby.
Yeah. Like. And chess. You know, no one wanted to hear about chess, D4, D5, whatever. But I did, and he did. We wanted to talk about it.
Okay, but I was listening as I was writing a paper for the banter. I think you guys had funny banter. Mm. And I know both of you. So I was like, this is interesting. Like they're both people that I know.
And that's the question is, maybe it's just not interesting to anyone who doesn't know us. like at a certain point, if you're not interested in the content, then all you're doing is listening to the people. So maybe that shows why you don't, like if I have a small listener base, it's because the content isn't really moving my audience past the people who just know me and want to listen to me for me. Mm. You know? So I think you're probably smart to have some consciousness of, okay, what do the people actually want? Anyway, maybe I'm beating a dead horse now.
I think we both are because we're both like, now I'm like, I need to rethink my whole brand.
Oh, no. I don't know. I don't like the brand thing.
No?
I don't want...
Sir, I think I used the word brand wrong.
No, you're using it right. I think.
I feel like I still don't like it though.
Okay, no. Tell me why you're using it. Tell me why you think you're using it wrong.
Well, so like everything in my life is about my personal brand. And I know that sounds uppity.
Wait. That sounds horrible.
Yeah.
You just said a sentence.
Sorry, it's not about my so this is more how like my dad raised me. So he's like, Hannah, like everything you do in your life reflects your outward appearance, right? So like how sorry, that sounds awful. That's not what I meant.
You're just digging your own grave here.
No. Okay, so I've been working for a rather like larger organization since I was 14. I've been employed with a very larger organization since I was 14. That's very public in our city.
Are you not naming it for a reason?
Okay, actually, I don't really care. So I work for like Parks and Rec as like the city.
Okay.
And I'm very aware of how on show I am. Like I work on a lot of different, you know, places in Parks and Rec, and I have since I was a young kid. I volunteered with them and then I got hired with them when I was still in high school. So my entire life, I was like, I want to make sure I'm putting out my best foot forward. I'm doing my best to put out a personal image of myself that is professional, that is hardworking, that is kind. And I also feel as though I am that. I do think that I am hardworking down to my core. I do feel that I am a relatively kind person, right? But everything like that. So my dad in that sense was like, that's like Hannah Anna as a brand is who you are. And he's like, so everything that you do in your life will contribute to your brand, to your personality, like to who you are, to who people know you as. So I feel like my podcast, I want to be a reflection of who I am and, you know, where I want to be in my life, and everything else in my life has also led to that point.
But here's the thing. You can use a better word might be identity though, because identity has all the same connotations of brand, except it doesn't have the money aspect. Like brand is, the connotation of brand is it's like a money making machine.
But my identity plays into my jobs because I want to be, you know, I'm a crim major right now. I want to work within the social justice reform one day.
Yeah.
How I am now and what I do now will play into that. Mm-hmm. And it's all working towards getting me into that field. So I think that's where I'm coming from with brand.
I see.
Like, so who is Hannah McNabb as an employee? Who is Hannah McNabb as someone that we want to, you know, have on our team, right? Like, I think that's, which maybe I feel like some people don't like, because they're like, oh, so it's everything that you do for a show. And I'm like, well, no, because I truly feel as though I represent, like, what my brand is truly who I am. Mm. Because that's how I've always operated. Like, I'm authentic in how I am and how I operate. That was totally a tangent. I'm sorry.
No, it wasn't a tangent at all.
Like, am I using the word brand correctly, or are you still saying it's more identity?
No, I'm not trying to argue on semantics. I just think I understand, like, a lot of people who know that they have interviews or applications coming up in their life, like people who went to med school were extra careful about what they posted on social media, what they posted on, or what they did in their lives, because they didn't want to have something that was a paper trail when they applied for med school. It was like, oh, it says here you had a DUI, or it says here you went to an antebellum party, or it says here, right? Like, yeah, all these things that would trail you. So I see it in that sense. You can start to see your identity as this sort of contract. Like, I have to make sure my CV, my identity CV, my identity resume is super clean and tidy. But yeah, I think personally, I think it's dangerous because it smuggles in, you know, the difference between like extrinsic motivations and intrinsic motivations?
Yeah, do you think it's more extrinsic?
I think the word brand makes it seem like it's extrinsic.
Okay.
Whereas the good word, I don't, I'm just being honest.
No, totally. No. And that's the thing. I think I've always like, I think it comes off that way.
What does?
How I operate.
Comes off as if you're doing it for different, like a extrinsic.
Yeah. Mm. Which people who genuinely know me, I think they can attest that's how I am. Like how careful I am in my life, that it really has nothing to do with my current position at my job. If you listen to my podcast, I swear quite a bit. Mm. I can be more raunchy in topics that I speak about. I don't really hold back.
Raunchy. You're not that raunchy, I don't think. And on the scale of like, what's the opposite of raunchy? Prudish?
Pristine. Yeah, prudish.
Prudish,
yeah.
To raunchy, you're not on the raunchy end, I don't think.
Okay, fair enough.
Like, call her daddy's raunchy.
Fair enough.
Is it call me daddy?
Call her daddy.
Call her daddy. Yeah. Okay, sorry, continue.
So with that, where was I going? Yeah. So with that, like, I think, you know, that's me being authentic. Like, this is who I am as a person. Like, I do, you know, I do operate like that in my everyday life. It's just, I also make sure that my intrinsic and my extrinsic line up. Mm. If that makes sense.
So when we think of Hannah, we should think of a raunchy person who swears. I'm just kidding. I think I like what you're saying. I think everyone's goal is, or at least if it's not, it should be that you do as much of what you do throughout your day is for intrinsic motivations, because you want to do it, not because you think someone else, you'll get some sort of reward, whether it's approval or money or success. Yeah. So I think, but the thing is, after all that, I think to myself, maybe I'm just like, I think I am lying to myself. Under it all, my goal is to have people listen to me. Like, I would stop recording if my listenership hit zero. If I got no listens for 3 episodes straight, I would stop. Because I don't care about it if it's not successful.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, as much as I can say, oh, you should have intrinsic, it should be identity, not a brand. It should be intrinsic motivations. I'm still beholden to success for fulfillment. So I think in a way I should be like people, you have to treat it as a brand to a certain extent. It's funny. I'm saying all this. I'm a salesman. That's my job. I sell books. I represent a brand. Yeah. Life is kind of, I thought you were going to say for sure when you talked about your dad, how he raised you. I thought you were going to say, is he a salesman? He's a realtor, right?
Yeah.
So he's a salesman. It's classic. He's.
What did you think he was going to say?
I thought, because there, I've heard some like used car salesmen, realtors, things like this. Any sort of salesperson will tell their kid, it doesn't matter what anyone tells you. Every professional is a salesman. If you're a doctor, you're selling your care. If you're a masseuse, you're selling your fingers, or you're selling it, right. Like, it's like no matter what you do, you're actually just a salesman, and your ability to succeed in life depends on your ability to sell other people on you.
Yeah.
And that's consistent with what you were taught. Like, you go through the world and you're kind of, your job is to convince people that you're a good person, and it's true.
It wasn't like convince people that you're a good person, but he was like, it also was he wasn't like, you need to be nice to the kids in the schoolyard because like you're Hannah Anna, like build your brand. Like, sorry, that's not how they raised me with like my morals, but they're like, you also want to make sure that, you know, because I believe that they raise a relatively good kid. I think I'm a pretty good kid, all things considered. And they're like, you want to make sure, Hannah, that you're putting your best foot forward, that in everything that you do in your life, like you can be proud of what you're doing and other people will be proud of you for doing that. Mm-hmm. And they're like, if you're proud of yourself and what you're doing, other people will as well. Like, it was Yeah. Like,
I think they're dangerously intertwined. Mm-hmm. Like, you being proud of yourself and other people being proud of you. I've been through periods of my life up until very recently, and probably still now, where it was reversed, where I was proud of myself when other people were proud of me. Not like
when you were proud of yourself when other people weren't.
No. Like,
I was only proud of myself
when I see other people proud of me. You sort of externalize your ability. Yeah, your own self-worth is externalized. And that makes you a slave to other people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
And that's not just like, it's not even as bad if you're talking about a podcast as your own personality. You know what I mean? Yeah.
It's like a big philosophical question.
Mm-hmm. And I think everyone falls prey to it because we're social creatures. And see, this is where I lose most of my podcast listeners. Right?
They're like, oh my God.
Oh, is he doing the social creatures thing again? Oh, that's funny.
Okay, but so I think about, like I mentioned earlier when I was talking about my speech impediment, like how I did like the pageant and how I worked for the on ice announcing team for like the hockey team here in town. Like my parents helped push me for that and they helped me do that because of, you know, what it did for me and my speech. But it also like it became this thing where it was like, oh, Hannah, like she does the announcing at the games and like she's, you know, she's Miss Congeniality. Like that was my title, right? And my pageant that I had, like I was also Students Council President and I ran the anti-bullying club. But I thrived off of those. And in turn, people were like, wow, she genuinely enjoys doing that. Like I did it. I did all those things and I continued doing them after I got past my speech impediment because I genuinely liked it. I felt like good as I was doing all these things.
Are you sure?
1,000%.
Are you sure? And I'm not saying
1,000%. I got so much flack from my classmates for being this wet blanket of a human. I'm not even afraid to say it. I didn't go to parties because I like genuinely did not mind going to all my extracurriculars, volunteering after school. Like looking back now, I'm like, Hannah, you probably should have gone to like one party. You probably shouldn't have been this wet blanket. But I used to, like, there was probably like 18, 19 years old. I really hated that I loved that so much because I felt like a lot of shame surrounding it. Because I was like, oh my God, Hannah, you were such like a nerd. Like, no wonder people didn't like you. But I'm like, no, like she, because of how she was, that's how I am now. And I can't not love that. Like I loved that. I genuinely loved that. To the point where I didn't care what people thought of me.
I have similar thought processes, but we have different conclusions.
Okay.
So I look back, I was similar growing up. Person who did, I think I put a lot of my self-worth, I put approval into parents rather than peers. So a lot of people will judge themselves based on if their peers like them. And that's how you get into doing peer pressure, like drugs and skipping school and parties. Whereas I put my, I wanted to impress the parents and the teachers and those people. So that,
which probably in turn kept you out of quote unquote trouble.
Yeah. Right. And now I look back and think, I like who I am now in a lot of ways. So I can't be too upset with how I was then. However, I wish I would have been a bit less respectful of authority. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it sounds like we were both pretty respectful of authority and we were both pretty respectful of what a quote unquote good kid quote unquote should do.
Yeah.
You know? So I think everyone has regrets, but it's funny how you look back and think, I just love how much I love doing those things. And I look back and think I was totally doing those things for the approval of parents and adults.
Okay, I will agree with you though. The satisfaction I felt when my parents were like, Hannah, we're just like, we just love like, you know, how you are. I was like, thanks. Like, and no one's going to sit there and say, I didn't like getting approval. It feels good to get congratulated in your behavior and to get applauded for doing what's quote right, you know? Like, I don't think anyone's going to say I didn't like that, you know, my parents were proud of me, right? But I think it's why I was doing certain things that I'm proud, like I can be proud of looking back on like myself and happy about looking back, because at the time I believe I was doing it because I loved it. And I know I loved it then. Whereas if you look back and you're like, I was doing it because I liked the validation, like obviously, yeah, that's where we're different, but I'm not going to say I didn't also thrive off getting the validation. Like I liked knowing that my parents were proud of me. Mm. I like the teachers were like, well, we can depend on Hannah to get this done, because I was like, thank you. Like, I love that I'm getting validated for that. Like, I don't think anyone's going to say that they didn't like the validation if you were getting it. Just like if you were being told I'm disappointed in you, you probably wouldn't like hearing that. Right?
Sometimes, like when I'm at my...
Unless you're a rebel. Then you love it.
Well, you know why? If you're a rebel, it's because you put your value in what your peers think of you. Or like what, like, so you think, okay, well, how can I score the most credit with my classmates? And you just don't even care what the teachers think.
True. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that I can see now why people did what they did, because everyone had different sort of criteria about who the people that they want to please, what they're going to like.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel kind of, in my darker moments, I realize the extent to which like everything I do is just dependent on what people around me want. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's pretty pessimistic. It is.
But totally valid.
Yeah. And scarily valid. Like, yeah. Anyway, that's enough of that. Did we even get to... Oh, I was going to ask you about your unsalted...
Honey?
Unsalted honey. So that was...
My interview?
So tell us a story. So like, tell us how that came to be, why you wanted to do it, where that you think that will take your podcast eventually.
Okay. So fingers crossed it takes it somewhere. That would be cool, I guess. But so... Unsalted Honey is a jewelry company based out of Ontario. She mentioned what city she was in. It's just outside of Toronto. So,
sorry, what company?
A jewelry company.
Jewelry company, yeah. Outside Toronto.
Yes, just outside of Toronto, yeah. So she is a local independent businesswoman. She's a few years older than me. She's probably a year older than you. And I got to know her brand because of another small brand that I shop from in Toronto. I began buying, this is her product right here that I'm wearing right now. She makes her own jewelry, and I just like DM'd her one day. Or no, here's what happened. I used her product. I used her jewelry in an episode that I was talking about like my current like loves that I'm loving right now. And I was like, the Unsalted Honey necklace that I'm wearing, like it's my favorite thing. And I posted a photo on my Instagram and I had tagged her in it. And the caption was like, hey, like, newest episode's out. I talk about these brands in the episode. So I tagged all these brands that I had talked about. And some of them were local. Some of them were like huge, right? So she comments from the Unsalted Honey Instagram. And she's like, oh my God, what? ? I'm going to go listen right now. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. So she listens. And then I get a DM from her the next day. And she's like, hi, Hannah. Or no, she said, she referred to me as my old podcast name. And she was like, I just listened. This was so cool. Like first of all, she was like, I like your voice, like whatever. Then she's like, thank you for featuring me. Like, this means a lot. And I was like, oh, of course. And then I was like, ooh, I texted my dad. I was like, Dad, like, is it weird to ask her to come on? And he's like, Han, like, this is your shot. Like, you know, that's how.
Build your brand, Han.
Build your brand, Han. Do it. And he's like, Han, if she says no, she says no. But like, if you want to have her on, have her on. So I asked her, and she was like taken aback. She's like, you want me on? And I was like, you're even considering this? Like, I was, because I'm much smaller compared to hers. Because she's like 5K in followers. She sells out of all her stuff. Whenever she does a drop, she sells out instantly. Like, For me, she's like someone that I aspire to be. Mm-hmm. And she was like shocked that me, 300 followers on my Instagram, wanted to have her on. So she was like, when do you want to come, or when can I be on? Like, for sure. So we did an entire hour, which I thought was crazy. Like, she's kept talking, like, and she was very like, she would answer. And then she's like, well, like, what do you think about that? And she would like ask me back. Like, she was very generous in how she would talk. And it was
really a breath of fresh air.
Right? It was such a great episode. I asked her those 5 questions at the end that I asked you on mine, and yeah. She would flip it, and she's like, what's your favorite pizza topping? Like, she was just so lovely, and we had a whole conversation like before and after the podcast. She's really great. I even sent her a Starbucks gift certificate, and she's like, no, like, take this back. Like, I can't. Like, it was my honor coming on. Like, she was so lovely. But yeah, so sorry. That's how she came on my podcast. She has been running the company for like the last 2.5 years. She has another side company that's more like men's jewelry based. And she does it out of, it's just her and her little kit. And she makes all her own jewelry, and she has an Etsy shop, and she's launching her website this month. Like, she's just a total boss. And I know that sounds so cringy, but she seriously is. And you can hear it. Like, when the audio releases, like, you can hear it in my voice. I'm like, wow. Like, I'm literally, whenever she says something, I'm like, that's amazing, Tiffany. Like, I was literally dying listening to her because I thought she was the coolest person. And how she was talking about her brand is how I talk about like my podcast. Like, it's a small, tiny thing. And like, it's just like my little child. And for me, I see her brand as this like aspirational thing. Mm-hmm. Right. So yeah. It was really refreshing. And she was so open and so like, she would answer anything. She was just lovely. So that was how I had her on. And I hope that it makes more people go shop from her, because her pieces are really, really great and they're super affordable. Like, for what you're receiving, like, it's free shipping throughout Canada. It's, everything's under $40. Like, it's really affordable in that sense. So, and it's local to Canada. That's cute.
So how did you get your first, like, you originally shouted her out in your podcast. How did you get your first piece from her?
So I follow this other company called Away Swim, which is the bathing suit company in Toronto.
Always in Toronto.
I know. They all start from there. So I found her bathing suit company like during quarantine, and I've been buying suits from her all throughout quarantine, like wore them all throughout the summer. And I would like really pimp out her brand. Like I really love, I was like, I love Away Swim. Anyway, so me and the girl from Away Swim have like, we talk openly over like DM. She's very, and I asked her to come on when I first began my podcast, and she was very vocal. She's like, I'm very shy. I wouldn't do well. She's like, give me 6 months. Maybe I'll come back to it. So in the same post, when I talked about this necklace that Unsalted Honey found me at,
yeah,
I also tagged a product that Away Swim had used. So I so Away Swim and Tiffany know each other because they've done like projects together. So they kind of knew each other. So I found Unsalted Honey through something that Away Swim had tagged them in like months before.
Yep.
And I bought these necklaces as a matching present for me and all my sisters. And then I bought rings from her and stuff. Like I can't justify now going to like the mall and buying from like some random, like Old Navy for jewelry, because I know how their things are like made. And I would rather support like someone who's making this jewelry in their apartment. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And selling it for around the same price point.
So she makes it.
Yeah. So she orders like these pieces, but then like she'll do like videos on her Instagram where she's like piecing the necklaces like together, putting the gems and the rings. Like, yeah, it's more or less like handmade, but.
Interesting. So in terms of the greater arc of your podcast and where you want to go with it, are you trying to reach out to small business owners more and more?
Yes. So that's because like I mentioned earlier, that's what I like to listen to. I like to listen to origin stories and how people, and all my questions, if when you listen to our episode, it's going to be like, how did you start Unsalted Honey? Like, what's the biggest hurdle that you have to overcome? What's the biggest pro, right? Like, it's questions that you're asking me now that I asked to her, right?
Mm-hmm.
I really want to have on a lot of like local shops that we have here in town to also showcase them, because I think throughout this year, 2020, we've realized that like local and independent artists are where like probably it was who struggled the most during like the thing with the coronavirus. So
absolutely,
I want to showcase them as much, but I really love the idea of showcasing people who built their own brand, built their own company. And that's just what I prefer listening to. And I like learning from, and I think other people probably find it interesting. Speak your truth, Braden. Speak your truth.
Is that a reference?
Yeah, to you.
Yeah. Also, I will say, I take that back. When I was on Hannah's podcast, she asked, what was it? What's your pet peeve that people say? What's your pet peeve saying?
Yeah, like what's a saying that people hate?
And I said,
or that you hate that people say.
Live your truth or speak your truth or something. And since then, I've actually done a 180. And I think it's really important to be honest with yourself and tell people what you actually want and they'll give it to you. So if you, what I've learned for myself, I'm not going to make generalizations, but if I try to have a conversation with you and think, okay, what does she want from me, and give you that, it's not going to go well for me.
Not speaking your truth.
Exactly. But if I think, I don't care what she wants, I'm going to give her what I have to give, then however it goes, at least I can be confident in that I spoke my truth.
Yeah.
You know, so I love that saying now.
speak your truth.
I was wrong. I was wrong about that.
I hope to have you back on. You can just scratch that.
I'll give the same spiel there.
But I understood, but like, I think like the saying speak your truth, like it, you know, it's like live, laugh, love. Like,
yeah.
That's how I was also hearing it. I was like, oh man, I hate that saying too. But I think like at the core of it, like say how you feel, communicate, like.
It's a cliche for a reason. It works.
Yeah.
You know, it's like everyone rolls their eyes when they hear those cliches, or love people. not things or whatever it is. There's those sayings too. And obviously the reason they get so popular is because they work.
Yeah.
You know, when you were young and people told you things and you were like, that makes sense. Like, so my dad always told me, don't gossip. Cause it'll come back to bite you.
Mike, he's coming through.
He's great. He's a wholesome guy. And thing is, I always think to myself, oh yeah, how bad can gossiping really be? And then, you kind of accept it. Like, okay, I shouldn't gossip. But then sometimes you gossip because you didn't really know it. You only heard it. Mm-hmm. And then the first time you gossip and someone gets pissed at you and like is hurt by your gossiping, the lesson comes home.
Yeah.
And I think for me, that was the speak your truth thing. It's like I can know that it's a good idea, but still doubt it. And then once you learn it from your own experience, then you adopt it.
Okay.
And then you're the person spouting off the cliche to everyone and they're annoyed at you. It's a whole cycle.
That's so interesting. Mine was just grammar based, so I'm going to stand by mine.
What was yours?
When people say, I seen.
Mm.
Yeah. Just a dumb
interesting.
One.
Interesting. Why does that bother you? Just because it's not right.
Because I'm like, it takes nothing to say, I've seen.
Mm.
I seen. I'm like, smack it in the face.
There was this, was the Washington Post did a little 25 question survey, and mm-hmm. it was, we'll tell you what your zip code is based on the words you used. Oh, so God. It was 25 questions, and it was, for one example was, what do you call a road on which there's four roads or four lanes that intersect in a circle?
Roundabout?
Yeah. And it's, okay. But the thing is, there's some people call it roundabout, some people call it traffic circle, some people call it, and there's all these different, right?
Okay.
And so based on where what you say, they associate that term with different regions.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, there's no way that they can do this. But it's only in the States. But I took it anyway, and I got the very top left of Washington.
Which is like close
to really busy. Close to Vancouver.
That's so funny.
Yeah. I would recommend taking it. I can't remember. I'll have to put it
Washington
in
Washington Post? Yeah. Put it in like your show notes.
That was fun. Time flies. Yeah, I got nothing left.
Okay, cool.
Do you have anything left?
No. Just make sure that you listen to this episode.
She
says Braden Zimmer.
She says to the people who are already listening to the episode.
And then if you want to like come through mine, just kidding.
Yeah, plug yourself.
My podcast is literally with Hannah Anna on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all major podcast platforms. Same with Braden's. And I probably shouldn't say and you find me on Instagram at literally the podcast. And I want to say thank you, Braden, for having me on. I really love this.
It's been a pleasure. We'll do it again.
Calm down. Yeah, he'll be on mine in like a couple weeks. Come listen.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening, everybody. I hope you enjoyed it. Before I let you go, I just wanted to say that I listened to this podcast a second time, and I think I took a hard line. I think I took too hard a line on the whole advertising thing. I bring the word respect into it. I don't think that's very fair after listening to Hannah's argument. She makes a good point. There are probably a lot of people out there who would prefer to have as much access to free content as possible and don't mind the ads. So I don't think it's fair to say, oh, I lose respect for someone for advertising on their podcast. Yeah, just wanted to retract the certainty with which I put forward that position. And say, you know, after talking with Hannah, I'm a little bit closer to the middle. I still think I would prefer to have a situation in which there's a central platform and you pay a subscription fee and you get access to as much content as possible. But I'm not going to be as anti-advertisements as I was coming into this conversation. So thank you, Hannah.